Today we want to continue our preaching series on David, which we began last Sunday, and we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17 today. Last week, of course, we looked at the anointing of David as he was anointed to be the next king, and the story from 1 Samuel chapter 16. And today we pick up on the next great story in David's life. It's the slaying of the giant Goliath. And this is a story that's very familiar to us, one of the greatest stories of the Old Testament, one we learn in Sunday school growing up in a church, one we've perhaps reenacted at some point. It's a profound story of a young boy defeating the tormenting giant. And so today we want to consider what we learn from this story of David for a message entitled, Fighting the Giants in Your Life. Fighting the Giants in Your Life. As I was studying this passage, I was reminded of just how commonplace this story is. Whenever the underdog defeats the overwhelming odds, the overwhelming favorite, we say that they have slayed their giant. How many stories have we heard of playground bullies terrorizing weaker children, only to have that weaker child rise up and take out their Goliath? Stories of overcoming overwhelming odds warm our hearts, and the story of David and Goliath is a great example of that. Today, we're not going to read the passage per se because of its length, because you're familiar with the story. But let me set the stage for you before we begin. 1 Samuel 16, David is anointed by Samuel as Israel's next king. And we learn that the Spirit of the Lord that Janae was talking about here, and the same Spirit that came at Pentecost, was upon David. And Saul was still king. David was not yet king. And Saul was being tormented by an evil spirit. And it seemed that music from a harp would soothe Saul, and the evil spirit would flee. And so the king's attendants decided, hey, we need to keep a harp player in the palace. And they scratched their heads and tried to think of someone who could help. And one of the attendants says, hey, I remember a son of Jesse. I think his name's David. He's able to play the harp. Maybe we should get him. He's a young, strong warrior. And so they sent for him, and he comes. And when the spirit would afflict Saul, David would come and play, and the spirit would flee, and Saul would be relieved. And Saul is so pleased with David, he sends word to Jesse that he wants David to remain in his service in the palace. And he does, and here he is, he's going to become one of Saul's armor bearers. Now here is the interesting point. Saul brought right into the palace the person who would succeed him as king. David is brought right into the palace to learn firsthand what it means to be king, how a king is supposed to serve. And you can see the hand of God upon David's life and enabling him to be brought into the palace to begin being prepared to be the king. That brings us to 1 Samuel chapter 17. The opening verses of 1 Samuel 17 describe the problem. The armies of Israel and the Philistine army faced each other across the Elah Valley. And the front man for the Philistine army is Goliath. Goliath is a warrior. He's nearly 10 feet tall. And so the armies of Israel and the armies of Philistia are pitted against each other. And each day, Goliath would come out 10 feet tall, and he would taunt the Israelite army. And the plan was to have the strongest warrior from each army come and do battle. And whoever won, well, they would overtake the other army, and they would become subject to the winner. Instead of having a full-out battle where everybody or many people were killed, they just chose the strongest warrior. And for the Philistine army, it was, of course, Goliath. Nobody wanted to take on Goliath. King Saul was the obvious choice, but he was just as scared as everyone else. And verse 11 is very telling in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, "When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Fear had gripped everyone, even King Saul." So imagine you're King Saul, and your army is parked on one side of this valley, and the Philistine army is on the other side, and every day Every day, this 9-10 foot giant comes out and taunts your army and insults your army and calls out your army, and no one rises up to say, hey, you know what, I'll go and take on Goliath. And King Saul is thinking, well, I'm the king, I guess I should take him on. But you don't want to do it either. This dude's big. This guy is huge. He's a warrior. And so that's when the story gets very interesting. The first point we want to make today is this. We too live in fear of the giants in our lives. The Israelite army is living in fear. King Saul's living in fear. We too live in fear of the giants in our lives. Max Lucado, in his book, Facing Your Giants, says it this way. Your Goliath doesn't carry a sword or a shield. He brandishes blades of unemployment, abandonment, sexual abuse, or depression. Our giants can be financial, spiritual, emotional, or physical. Our giants can be relationships gone awry, bad decisions, or uncontrolled behavior. One thing is for sure, Goliath will steal the joy from your life and leave you with fear. What is it that brings paralyzing fear to you? Is it fear of illness? Is it fear of failure? Is it fear of public speaking? Is it fear of sharing your faith? What brings paralyzing fear to you? Al Gore's made a living off the fear of global warming, right? God has not given us a spirit of fear, the Bible tells us. He's given us a spirit of faith. When I was growing up, I was taught and told that I was to have a healthy fear of flying. No one in my family flew, and my father always talked about how dangerous it was to get on an airplane. Whatever you do, son, don't get on an airplane, you know. Things don't end well when you're on an airplane. And so no one in my family flew. Then at the age of 22, I took a job in Washington, D.C. that required travel 40% of the time. I knew that I had to conquer this fear of flying, or I would be moving back home real quick. I started in December 1989, and in March 1990, my first plane trip came. And I remember praying and how nervous I was. And I was fortunate to have a very sympathetic boss who made sure that he could do whatever he could to make my first plane trip as uneventful as possible. He got me an aisle seat. He thought that would be better. And he was nearby, and he watched me and made sure that, make sure you have chewing gum to chew, he said, because of your all these things that I had to do. And I'm just on this plane, and I'm just clutching the armrests with every ounce of strength I got. It's a short trip. It's from Reagan Airport in D.C. to Dayton, Ohio. You know, it's probably an hour flight, an hour and a half flight. But I was told you don't get on an airplane, and here I was at 23 years of age on my first airline flight thinking, oh my goodness, what am I doing? The fear of flying had been impacted upon me since day one. You don't get on an airplane, you don't fly. But here's the thing. As soon as that plane took off, I thought, you know what? This is okay. This is okay. What am I afraid of, you know? It's pretty smooth. And you know what happened? I got over that fear of flying and actually went on about 30 more planes and had 30 more flights in the next 4.5 years, some of them to Europe and back, which is not a short flight. And got over that fear of flying, but also was able to get over some other fears as well. Fear of public speaking. Fear of failure. Fears can paralyze us. And that's what happened to this Israelite army. They are living in fear. They are paralyzed by fear because of this 10-foot giant. And our second point today is this. To defeat our giants, we must see them from God's point of view. The Israelites looked at that Philistine army, and all they could see was Goliath. And for 40 days, this standoff continued. Goliath coming out and berating the Israelite army. Each army was waiting for the other to attack, but no one would take on the giant. David, of course, is brought into this scene. He's sent by his father, Jesse, to send some food and some resources to his brothers who are a part of the army there and encamped in the valley. And David makes his way to the front and he finds his brother and he delivers the provisions. And at that moment, Goliath stepped out of the ranks and spoke against Israel. And David heard him. The armies, they scatter in fear, but not David. He saw things differently. In fact, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, David says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" What a difference perspective can make. Most of the onlookers saw only a giant. David, however, saw a mortal man who was defying Almighty God. He knew that he would not be alone when he faced Goliath, that God would fight him. Viewing impossible situations from God's point of view helps us put giant problems into perspective. It's all how you look at things, folks. A man was driving in the country one day and he saw an old man sitting on a fence rail watching the cars go by. Stopping to pass the time of day, the traveler said, I never could stand living out here. You don't see anything. And you don't travel like I do. I'm on the go all the time. The old man on the fence looked down at the stranger and his southern drawl said, "I can't see much difference in what I'm doing and what you're doing. I sit on the fence and watch the cars go by, and you sit in your car and watch the fences go by. It's just the way you look at things." Well, the Israelites looked at Goliath and the Philistines and convinced themselves, "Hey, we're defeated. There's no way we can defeat Goliath." They had the wrong perspective. The soldiers thought, "He's so big, we'll never be able to kill him." But David looked at that same giant and thought, "He's so big, how can I miss?" You see the difference in perspective? That's what David brings to this battle here. Everyone was living in fear. Everyone else saw a 10-foot obstacle. But David saw a God that was greater than the giant. That leads to our next point today. To defeat your giant, focus on the strength of God. In verses 31 to 40 of 1 Samuel 17, we learn that David's oldest brother, Eliab, his anger burns against David. "What are you doing here, David? You have no point being here. We got this giant we got to defeat. How are you going to help us with any of this?" And he thinks his little baby brother, the runt, who should be out with the sheep, has no business being there. Before David even does anything, he is criticized. Isn't that interesting? Before he does anything, he's criticized. The rest of the army is standing around, and David knew the importance of taking action. So there was no reason to wait. And Saul then intervenes and says to David, "Well, my young warrior here, if you're going to take on this giant, well, then maybe you better put on my armor. You know, maybe this is what you need to protect you from this giant." And David puts on the armor, and it's uncomfortable for him. He can't wear it. It doesn't allow him to move. And again, someone else trying to help, but really saying, "I don't think you're up to the task." So David defends himself, citing his record as a shepherd, saying, "Look, I've defeated lions and bears. I've been out with the sheep. I've been defending them. I've been protecting them. The Lord has been with me. He's helped me to defeat these animals. And just as he's done that, he will help me defeat David." And so David prepares to take on this giant. He knew that God was on his side. He needed just a sling and some stones. And he knew that he would be able to defeat him. What's interesting is when we face our giants, the giants in our lives, we need to focus on the strength of God. Four times in this passage, David focuses on the strength of God. I count 9 references to the strength of God. The God thoughts outnumber the Goliath thoughts 9-2. That's what David brings to this, is a perspective that God is with me and God will defeat this giant. You see, friends, it's quite simple. When we focus on the problem, we lose. We fail, so we fall to the giants. But when we focus on God, he gives us the victory. When our health fails, we focus on the problem, the limitations, rather than on the God of all healing. When we are paralyzed in fear, we focus on the fear, when we should be asking in faith to trust him. I remember a small child learning a song that went something like this. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Anybody know that song? Remember that song? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His. The rivers are His. The stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. David believed in the strength of God. Do we? Do we believe in the strength of God? Do we allow God to defeat the giants in our lives? Our last point is simply this. Giants fall when you stand up for God. Giants fall when you take action. Notice that this giant didn't fall till David did something. He had to take action. And what did he do? He went to a stream and picked out a few rocks. And he took a sling, and he called out to the giant. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And verse 47 is quite telling. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. Wow. Can you imagine the Israelite army listening to David shouting these words out to this giant, trusting in the strength of God? Here they are cowering in fear for their lives. And David, little David, the runt, the hobbit, is the one out there calling out the giant. So he grabbed a slingshot and a stone and takes on Goliath, and he only took one stone. One stone, and he slings that stone, and it hits Goliath in the most vulnerable place he had, right in his forehead. And down went the giant. It says that David defeated Goliath without a sword in his hand, because he didn't have a sword in his hand. But in fact, he used Goliath's own sword to pierce him and then decapitate him. The Philistines saw their hero was dead, and they ran. This is the original upset. This is the first underdog story. But the miracle is that God honored the faith that David had and believed in the armies of God. He stood up for the Lord. He took action. He stepped out in faith. And because he did, God honored that and gave him the victory. A young girl was suffering from anorexia and bulimia. It was her giant, and she was fighting with all she had. She was undergoing treatment at Baptist Medical Center in Kansas City. And on one particularly difficult day, she was told to drink a glass of milk. But she couldn't do it. She just couldn't do it. Her Goliath was winning. And her doctor was called in, and he sat down beside her and he said, "Look, you are a Christian woman, correct?" She answered, "Yes." He said, "Do you remember the story where the man Jesus healed was near the Pool of Siloam?" "Yes," she remembered. "I remember that story. Jesus came and he put mud on his eyes to bring about his healing. But what really healed him?" And she thought for a moment and then answered, "Well, his faith." "Good," he said. "Now drink your mud." You see, friends, miracles happen in miracle country. Miracles happen when we take action, when we do something. That's when giants fall, when we take action and drink our mud. Because you focus on the giants, you're going to stumble. But you focus on God and your giants are going to tumble. Our giants fall when we stand up for God. And that's what happened with me after conquering that fear of flying and making over 30 airline flights over the next 3.5 years and conquering fears of public speaking and conquering fears of failure. That all happened because I faced those fears with the confidence that God would see me through. So what is the biggest fear you face right now? What Goliath is staring you in the face and taunting you, defying God to rescue you? Friends, the battle belongs to the Lord. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, he says, "Be on your guard. Stand true to what you believe. Be courageous. Be strong." In other words, be like David and trust in the strength of God. Because you focus on the giant, you'll be defeated. But you focus on God, your giants will fall. If Friends, I don't know what giants in your life you are facing, but I know that we all have giants. And the good news is the greatest giant that any of us will ever face has already been defeated. About 1,000 years after David defeated Goliath, Jesus defeated an even greater giant, the giant of death. Death was a giant that none of us could beat. It was a fate that awaited everyone, but Jesus at Calvary's cross took our sins upon himself and gave his life for ours. And in doing so, he defeated the greatest giant of all. The Goliath of all Goliaths was defeated at the cross of Calvary. I confess that there are far too many times when my faith seems way too small. Too many times when I'm like the Israelite army, I'm cowering in fear. I wish I was more like David. But even when my faith seems small and the giant seems so big, I can rejoice that Jesus has already taken out that greatest Goliath of all, the Goliath of death. And I can live each day, even in the valley of giants, knowing that my faith is secure. My life is secure in him. And I will trust in Jesus until the day he welcomes me home. The battle belongs to the Lord. No, praise God, the battle's already been won. It's already been won. Because Jesus is the ultimate giant killer. So as we close this morning, I want to ask you, do you know him? Do you know him as your giant killer? Do you know him as Savior and Lord? Are you trusting in him to defeat the Goliaths in your life? He's already defeated the greatest Goliath of all, the Goliath of death. Trust in him, believe in him, live for him, and watch the giants in your life begin to fall. Amen, so be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus has defeated the Goliath of all Goliaths, that of death. And that when we place our life in him, our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we know that we will overcome death, that we will be able to be with Christ for all eternity because of his shed blood, his broken body. Father, thank you for David, his example of faith, how he stood for God. When everyone else was cowering in fear, he trusted in the armies of God and defeated the Goliath of all Goliaths at that moment. But Lord, in our lives, we recognize today there are giants that we face, whether it's fears of failure or fears of a relationship that's not right, Lord. Whatever that fear may be, let us stand in faith and confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and know that through his power, he will defeat the giant. Help us to live in victory today because of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.